2 of that 590 show coming at you right now, live here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John G. Monty Rudolph behind the dials, but in studio we are joined by the owner and the GM of the Fire and Ice Soccer Club over in the Metro East, Lindsay Eversmeyer.
Hola.
Very happy to have you with us. She's also a pool connoisseur. And what was that? You were a what would they call you on the field? A...
No.
We can't say that on the air, probably.
A very nice person.
Yeah. It's not exactly nice how you put it. But joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a very nice person. He is the boxing play-by-play announcer for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. Sean Wheelock, how are you, my friend?
Very good, thank you. I have not been introduced as a boxing rather than an MMA guy in a long time. But I appreciate that. I very much live in both worlds, MMA and in boxing.
And you're living
Thanks
a lot.
For the introduction. Thanks for having me back on.
Always my pleasure. It seems like every single time I try to have you on, you're like, "Hey, brother, can't do it. I'm on my way to China or I'm on my way to Russia." So come on, this whole thing is just a front. You're really with the CIA.
So I was in Harbin, China, doing MMA on Thursday. On Friday, I got up and I flew from Harbin to Shanghai, which is about 3 hours. And then Shanghai to Dallas, which is about 13 and a half hours, but you cross the international dateline, so it's still pretty much the same time that when you left, when you arrived, that allowed me to fly to Wichita, and then on Saturday, so 2 days, a little more than 48 hours, actually, because of the international dateline, but basically 2 days from the Thursday to the Saturday, I'm from Harbin, China, and commentating MMA to Wichita, Kansas, and doing boxing on CBS Sports Network.
So
I passed out into a deep, deep sleep.
Say so. Your Father's Day present was nobody talk to Daddy, let Daddy sleep. Am I correct?
Actually, then I was back in Kansas City, and my kids like to do a Father's Day historic train ride every year, so we went on a 3.5-hour historic train ride. So I'll be getting my Father of the Year award here.
Yeah, it should be.
Looking out for the delivery.
It should be in the mail, and you should be receiving it any day now.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the fight that happened this past Saturday before we get to the event that's going to be happening in August. Andre Ward knocks out Sergey Kovalev in the eighth round, but not without controversy. Sergey Kovalev's team is wanting to protest, saying that he was hit below the belt three times in the eighth round before he was knocked out. Do you think that they have a case?
I really don't. It is so difficult to overturn results in combat sports, not just in boxing, but in combat sports. It's rare when you see an overturn of a decision. And generally when you do, it's because somebody found or banned steroids or banned substances were found in someone's system. So a lot of times when you see that overturn to a no contest, it has nothing to do with the judging or the refereeing or the officiating or the athletic commission. It has to do with the blood and urine test afterwards. I don't think that's going to be the case here, because when you're overturning a fight, it's not just that you're advocating that your fighter's loss is taken away. You're trying to take somebody else's win away. And athletic commissions take that very, very seriously. And that is so magnified on this scale with Ward and Kovalev, two of the best fighters in the world, two of, I think, the best 5-pound-for-pound fighters in the world. It's difficult. And also, as you look at low blows, too, when you're looking at an appeal, you have to ask, did the illegal action, even if you say it was legal, assuming that you go through and say, all right, this was definitely an illegal action, did this lead directly to the outcome of the fight? And that's very, very difficult. Now, if it's a situation where someone were hit with a low blow, or in boxing they took an elbow where that's obviously illegal, or say in MMA where they were punched clearly to the back of the head, that immediately ends the fight, it's a lot easier to overturn. But when you say, well, three times low, and then this happened, and that happened, and this happened because of that happened, athletic commissions don't like that. That's very difficult to overturn.
So now the fight that everybody has wanting, now that everybody kind of seems to have buyer's remorse about, Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Conor McGregor will be happening in August. Now, I think the fight is going to be absolutely dreadful, but I think the hype leading up to it is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. Do you give Conor McGregor any kind of chance in this fight to even lay a punch on Floyd Mayweather?
No, none, zero. And this is what we call in the MMA industry a squash. And if this were MMA, this would be an equally big squash. This would be steamroller versus paper cup, but McGregor's playing the steamroller and Mayweather's playing the paper cup. In boxing, it's the paper cup belonging to Conor McGregor, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. is the steamroller. It's like saying, what if Roger Federer and Tiger Woods played? Who would win? Well, what are they playing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, they're playing golf. Well, gee, I wonder who would win. No, they're playing tennis. Well, I wonder who would win. So many boxing purists who don't really understand MMA, and again, I'm a guy who loves both sports, and I feel like I understand both sports. I certainly commentate and I make my living in both sports. But boxing purists will look at MMA and they'll say, oh, the striking is terrible, the footwork is terrible, the angles they throw punches. It's not terrible, it's different. It's like saying, well, that baseball swing is terrible on mechanics for golf. Well, yeah, because you're trying to hit a baseball, not a golf ball. MMA, your footwork is different, your stance is different, you position your hips different, the way you move your head and your chest, the way you pivot and rotate, the angles of your punches, everything is different. So it does not translate into boxing. On the rare occasions when boxers have tried to go into MMA, think most recently James Toney versus Randy Couture,
Yeah. It
looked awful. If you recall that fight in the UFC in Boston, James Toney did not land a punch, Randy Couture hit a low single leg takedown. He worked to a head and arm choke, and he got the submission, and that was the end of that. Because the punching and the stances that Tony was trying to use do not work for MMA. Now, this is the inverse. I give McGregor no chance. People always say there's a puncher's chance. No, there's not a puncher's chance. If somebody's dad off the street fights Conor McGregor in MMA, they don't have a puncher's chance. Nor do they have a puncher's chance if they fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. in boxing. That's a myth. That's a fallacy when people say there's a puncher's chance. There's simply not a puncher's chance. And then I would ask people to think about this. So Andre Berto was a good fighter, but that was Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s last fight. Not world-class by any means, Andre Berto. But the last world-class opponent, although he was a bit past it, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Manny Pacquiao, one of the greats in the history of boxing. If Manny Pacquiao could not land a significant punch on Floyd Mayweather Jr. over 12 rounds and 36 minutes, why is Conor McGregor going to do so when he has an 0-0 professional boxing record? You just have to break it down that way. And if this sounds like I don't like Conor McGregor, it's the opposite. I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. And everything I'm saying now, I would be saying if they were fighting in MMA.
Sure.
It's just two different athletes who are outstanding athletes coming together. And one athlete is leaving his sport, and he's entering the other athlete's sport. And the results are going to be very predictable. Honestly, the only suspense I see is does Mayweather finish McGregor quickly, or does he try to prolong the beating a little bit? He's not going to carry him, but does he try to beat him and punish him a little bit?
To me, that's the most intriguing thing about this fight. I have no doubt in my mind that Mayweather's going to win. I'm intrigued about how Mayweather's going to win because he hasn't knocked out anybody in probably over 10 years. He doesn't exactly have knockout kind of power. I mean, Mayweather is 40 years old now, so I'm not sure exactly how much sting those punches still have as far as power goes. But working against Conor McGregor is that the longest fight he's ever had was the Nate Diaz rematch, and that was basically 25 minutes of action. It was five-minute rounds. That's it. And, you know, with boxing, that's nothing. That's a little over half the fight. So it's going to be interesting to see how this fight ends. Does Mayweather knock him out? This is a scenario that I'm actually kind of putting my money on, Sean. Let me know if you agree. I could see a scenario where Conor McGregor just gets so exhausted out there that his corner just throws in the towel.
I would be really surprised on that situation. I could see an accumulation of body shots where maybe McGregor says, yeah, I don't know that I'm coming out for this round. It would be interesting to see a towel in on exhaustion. And John Kavanaugh, who heads Conor McGregor's corner, he very much is a father figure to Conor McGregor. He does not want to see him get hurt, but he also doesn't want to see him get embarrassed. And Conor McGregor may not tell you that he's feeling the pressure, but he'll feel the pressure because he's representing a lot of things. And one of those things that he's representing beyond Conor McGregor, beyond the Republic of Ireland, beyond the UFC, is the sport of MMA. even people who hate him are going to see him as the flag bearer for MMA, and he's going to fill that responsibility, if not to win, to at least show very, very well. But what's interesting in this, too, you have two fighters in pro wrestling parlance who play the heel.
Yes.
No one is playing the good guy. No one is playing the babyface in this situation. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is seen by and large as a villain in boxing, and Conor McGregor is seen by and large as a boxing in MMA. Now, if you look at their personal lives, polar opposite. Conor McGregor, by all accounts, is outstanding as a family man and as a father and as a person, and really glowing reports about him. If you look at Floyd Mayweather Jr.,
not exactly, not so much.
Especially if you look at public documents like police reports and arrest records. But Conor McGregor at least plays that character. It will be interesting how the public perceives this, because fans always want to cheer someone. They don't always want to boo someone, but they always want to cheer someone. And who will the crowd want to cheer? My guess is Conor McGregor.
My guess is Conor McGregor, too, and I think that there's going to be plenty of people cheering for Floyd Mayweather, too. And I hate to say this, but I think it's going to be divided right along racial lines. I think you're going to see the majority of the people who are fans who are white are going to be cheering for Conor McGregor. The majority of the fans who are black are going to be cheering for Floyd Mayweather. I think it's exactly how it's going to go down.
See, I actually see it being along the lines, not of race, but of what sport you follow. I think people who are diehard boxing fans who loathe Floyd Mayweather Jr. will become de facto Floyd Mayweather Jr. boxing fans for that one night, because he's the standard bearer for boxing. I think this will be seen as a lot of new school versus old school, new generation versus old generation fighting, boxing versus MMA. I think you're going to see a lot split along those lines. And who you identify with probably says a lot about what sport you really care for the most. MMA fans, by and large, in my experience, we like all types of fights. If there's stick fighting on TV, we're probably going to stop and watch it. Boxing fans, in my experience, love to watch boxing and are very, very dismissive of every other type of fighting. That's just pretty much the way that it is. And I think that continues to be that way, and I think it will continue to be that way all the way into the Mayweather Jr. versus McGregor fight.
Sean Wheelock from CBS Sports joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. As you travel the globe, and this fight has been rumored for a long time, when you're talking to fans, or whenever you do talk to fans about this fight, who do you think seems more perturbed by it? Is it boxing fans or is it MMA fans?
No, I think MMA fans by and large, and I think it has to do with the fact that the sport began with UFC 1 on November 12, 1993, have a tendency to be more open-minded. And there's such an evolution. And I'll just bring this up. Let's go back 20 years. Let's go back to 1997. So if you were to go on YouTube or Daily Motion right now, when you were to find any random fight, boxing, from 1997, okay, you're going to notice that the trunks maybe are a little shorter and the haircuts look a little dated. But by and large, it's going to look exactly like what boxing looks like in 2017. Watch MMA from 1997, and it's an entirely different sport. There's massive evolution in MMA, and people have been open to things and new ideas, whereas boxing has been much more set in its ways. Boxing really is largely unchanged since the early 1900s. It truly is. So I think you're going to see that shift of people saying, wow, I'm an MMA fan, or I'm a boxing fan, and what am I open to? But I think the MMA fans are going to be more open-minded. I think the boxing fans are going to be more perturbed. I saw Teddy Atlas, and I know Teddy, and I have great respect for him, the ESPN commentator and the outstanding fight trainer, just a phenomenal boxing guy. But Teddy Atlas, in an interview, was basically equating Conor McGregor to a caveman, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, Conor McGregor, and I know Teddy Atlas doesn't like MMA, but he doesn't have to disparage MMA either. He can find dignity in MMA. I certainly do. Again, it goes back to a lot of boxing fans think that if it's a combat sport and it's not boxing, it's garbage. And I just disagree. As a boxing fan, I disagree with that. I'm a fan of combat sports. I'm a fan of fighting sports. And everyone is unique and different, and everything has its own little intrinsic, interesting elements to it.
And to me, it sounds a little like, I always make this comparison to NHL and NBA fans. NHL fans, they cannot stand the NBA. I mean, can't stand it. And for some reason, they think that your love of the NBA takes away from their enjoyment of the NHL, and I don't understand that at all. It's like, look, I like watching basketball more than I like watching hockey, and you just get bombarded with a bunch of memes about how LeBron isn't as tough as some no-name hockey player who skated off on one leg is going to need 25 stitches. It's like, good for him. I don't understand why that makes your sport better than mine, but have at it. Sean, do you think that this fight would be going on if the UFC paid their fighters better than what they currently do?
Hey, you know, it's an interesting thing right now that if you just think about it in the big picture, and I don't mean to answer your question indirectly, but in Conor McGregor, he just popped up, tied with Gareth Bale, the soccer player for Real Madrid in Wales, I believe tied for 24th on the Forbes list. So Conor McGregor is phenomenally well paid. So you almost have to separate him out from everybody in the UFC, even really well-paid fighters like the 170 champion, University of Missouri product Tyron Woodley. So I think it's more the big picture of what does this say about my beloved MMA? That the biggest star in MMA right now is going to be fighting in a non-MMA bout, and he's probably going to be embarrassed and decimated. I don't know that that says great things about MMA. I think if MMA were maybe in a healthier position right now in terms of finances, in terms of overall fighter content, maybe doing a better job of growing the fan base the way that it was 5 and 10 years ago, I don't know that this fight happens. This is kind of a weird moment in time for mixed martial arts. There's a lot of, I think, fighter and fan discontent with the UFC, even though the UFC is still incredibly powerful. And they're scrambling internationally for what's happening, and is Bellator going to stay as a dominant number two? There's a lot of things moving in mixed martial arts right now. So I don't know that you would have seen the equivalent of this fight 5 years ago, or you would see it 5 years in the future. But it's just caught that moment in time right now. The most remarkable thing to me, though, is that on the official fight poster, there was zero UFC branding. This is Conor McGregor going over on loan from the UFC into Floyd Money Mayweather's universe of boxing, and it's on Showtime. This isn't a co-promote with the UFC, as a lot of people, including myself, thought it would be. This isn't going to be a joint broadcast between Showtime pay-per-view and UFC pay-per-view. This is Conor McGregor going over to another sport, to another organization. That's truly remarkable. I definitely do not think that would have happened 5 years ago. I think the UFC would have co-promoted. They think they would have branded, and I think they would have had a much bigger revenue split.
Sean Wheelock, what is next on your itinerary, and where can we find it?
So, sleep, and then I'm going to go sit in my pool, actually.
Is it a saltwater pool like Lindsay has?
It is a saltwater pool. Yeah, Lindsay, you know what's up. Those are the best, aren't they?
So they are.
I commentate for a number of MMA organizations. I just did a really interesting fight on Saturday. There's an Olympic kid named Nico Hernandez who won the bronze medal for the United States. He had his second pro fight. He's now 2-0. Someone who realistically could be fighting for a world title, be an American world champion in boxing in the next 15 to 18 months. I have an MMA coming up later on in July. And then I get back on, and that's for Victory Fighting Championships, which is on UFC Fight Pass. And then I get back on the road in August, and I think I have Helsinki and Kazakhstan on the schedule.
Sean Wheelock, world traveler, joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. Sean, we appreciate your insight as always, sir, and we look forward to having you on again to talk about the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Brother, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I always appreciate it.
You're welcome, Sean. Safe travels. Always good hearing from you.
Thank you.
That is Sean Wheelock from CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. Yeah, that guy travels around the world all the time. Yeah, he used to be the play-by-play guy for Bellator, and then he had a podcast that he was doing with Big John McCarthy, who was the big famous UFC official, the UFC referee. And then he started doing these boxing matches for CBS Sports. And next thing you know, he's like, yeah, I can. I'm on my way to Kazakhstan, or I'm on my way to Helsinki, Finland to do a play-by-play for this boxing match. I'm like, my God, man.
I would love to do, like, traveling like that, though. You know, imagine the places you go.
Yeah, I hear that 13-hour flight back from China. You're like, oh,
yeah. I mean, man. I went to London a couple years ago, and that was not
long enough.
It was long enough.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see a soccer game, so I don't necessarily know if it was all worth it, but...
You went over there, you didn't see one soccer match.
No, I was over there for something else. Yeah, I went in there too long, but yeah.
Let's take a commercial break, and then when we come back, more fun with our friend Lindsay Eversmeyer, the general manager and owner of the Fire and Ice Soccer Club. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.